Welcome to another episode of Working with Purpose. Our show is dedicated to explore topics around the intersection of faith and business and viewing leadership and organizations through the lens of the body of Christ. We believe that the metaphor that best describes connected organizations is the agile human body rather than the rigid machine. You can join the conversation at davidstarkcollective.com. You can find us on Twitter at Stark Collective and find all of our podcasts on iTunes. Our new way to connect, by the way, is a LinkedIn group called Business Connected, which we really hope you participate in. Justin has the week off today, but before we dive into the topic, I just want to give a shout out to Mike in Wisconsin. He wrote us a great email, and I had a follow-up conversation with him also. He said how encouraging our program is to him because we are tackling issues that are exactly what he's facing in his own work life. He said it's like a cool glass of water on a hot day. We'll take that. Mike, thank you for that. He also gave a couple of great topic suggestions for our future programs, which will be incorporated into our programming in the future. We would be excited to hear from you also about topics that you'd like to see us address. And simply email me at david@davidstarkcollective.com just make suggestions. Again, that's david@davidstarkcollective.com. We'd love to hear from you. Okay, let's get back into it. We're doing a series on adaptability. But to start out this program, I want to share with you a little bit of an article I came across this week and a couple of conversations I had with business leaders about specifically the crisis in large retail stores today. This article put it this way. There's 19 major retailers in a stressed liquidity position currently. Others have ever already filed for bankruptcy and shutting the doors. We've heard of them. Macy's, that's a huge deal in this town. Sears, Kmart, JCPenney, Abercrombie & Fitch, and I could go on and just to name a few. Target is reporting lower earnings than expected last year and more to come this year, although they're the ones that are reinvesting in a major way, so they're actually addressing it big time. The reality, however, is that online retail only represents 8% of the total retail at the moment. But it's gaining speed so much faster than they predicted. In other words, shoppers are preferring click and order more and more over brick and mortar. So that's kind of our situation. What's going on? You know, it's easy to blame this specifically on Amazon or the other online giants. But the real story is much more fundamental than that. It's about the necessity of being an adaptable organization when the speed of change is much faster than ever before. We're going to be actually talking a lot about a book called Going Social, and they put it this way. Change happens only in reaction to irresistible market pressures. In other words, while you may see a company here or there doing something unusual or inspiring, perhaps in a way it chooses to operate, most companies will not change just because they want to, and certainly not because they can. Most companies will change only because they must change, right? They have no choice. Adapt to the current markets or die, right? And more specifically, in the retail crisis, how on earth can you compete with a company with drastically lower overhead and trends amongst the digital natives to buy online? I'll just give you two conversations I had the week that brought this home. I have a good friend who actually has been a very successful wholesaler into Target for years. And I actually saw him at a breakfast, and I said, you know, are you being hit by this crisis? And shakes his head, yes. And he said it this way. He says, our major online competitors are barely operating at a profit. How are we going to compete with that when we're in these stores? And I said, yep. And then the second one was actually an email conversation with a friend who's been very successful in the digital space, helping many large retail giants actually gain revenue in unique ways. I asked him about this crisis, whether it was more about adaptability than specifically Amazon. He said, I put it this way. I would say that most legacy retailers are their own worst enemy, two times higher than Amazon's effect. In fact, Amazon is able to run hard and fast because they don't have legacy issues, right? But more importantly, Amazon's entire DNA is to please customers and to enable customers' interest over corporate ones. He's talking about legacy, and he says, in his opinion, they're really short-sighted or disingenuous online because they're still operating under the mentality that the customer drove to the store, if they're driving to the store, is invested in the visit, right, and will buy something, even if it's not what they wanted because they're there. And he says emphatically, this is not true online world, right? Someone can change with one click, one or two searches, and there's no damage. They didn't drive somewhere to do it. It's just right there, click, click. So anyway, he says Amazon, you know, many times gets the short end of the stick, but they never waste time when people are on their website. Why? If they don't have it, they will recommend another retailer who does, or whatever it is. So they don't make a person, you know, have to stop there, which is ingenious. And so he's saying, you know, basically his conclusion, Amazon represents 10%. That's how much fault they get. The rest of it really is they're not being adaptable to the changing climate. So this is a huge deal we want to look at today. And what I want to look at is, you know, how deep this goes and what can we do about it? How can we become more adaptable organizations? Again, in the book by Going Social by the authors, they put it this way. They call it the social age. The social age is a revolution, one that affects all parts of the business model, the way an organization creates, delivers, and captures value, the way business talks to employees and customers and communities and regulators and government. They say social is the bane of large. What used to be cute and interesting, right? A small, flat, adaptable organization is now compelling. Social and collaborative technologies is more adaptable, and it's an irresistible force of nature right now. I actually had a conversation with another friend of mine whose wife is a director in this one company. And recently, the board of directors fired 9 out of 10 of the C group. They kept the COO. They hired a new CEO. Why? Well, because the costs of having that much management and having to become lean and flatter, that's exactly what they're aiming for. So it's a huge deal. So how do we respond to this? And the authors, really, they go through 10 steps. We don't have time for 10. I'm going to do 5 today. I think these are principles apply for medium and small-sized companies, even if you're not one of the big ones. First one's this. The CEO or president and top leaders must be in touch with the communicators and decision-makers on the front lines of the work. Why? They put it this way. If they're not, then they're not understanding the failings of the brand that are so obvious to everyone else who's close to the bottom. They'll be slow to react to it. The brand erosion, and then they say this, at first it's slow, then it's the deafening roar of a herd of dinosaurs, and that's what's happening. We're getting all of these dinosaurs crashing because the adaptability has got to be what happens. I remember in my own theological circles, I went to a seminary, I won't name which one, but they asked me after a lot of years of being a consultant to come back and speak about small groups. And the guy who introduced me, who's the head of the continuing ed there, said, it's come to our attention that small groups might be very important in the church. And I went, you're kidding me, right? It's been here for decades. But that's what can happen. You can get so, you know, isolated with layers and hierarchy that you don't know what's going on. And it's really important that the CEO have and the C group and leaders have access to that. Secondly, they say this, you're going to finally realize that loss of employees and customers and market share is acute, that the enforcers of that's the way we've always done it here, right, are barriers to communication and blockers to action and innovation. I actually had a great time with a department store in town where they had two different wings of it, and the CEO had me actually do a major structural change in one part of the department store, a smaller part of it. It went very well. It was great. And then he asked me to turn my eyes on the larger piece of this. And so I began to do some investigation. And as I began to do the investigation, the many of the top leaders underneath the president, CEO, et cetera, they had these secret meetings. In fact, they cajoled me into this one secret meeting. I'm just kind of listening to them. And I realized they had no intention of changing the way they're doing things, right? And so I was ushered out the door within about a week after we started the main house. And the problem is that because those changes didn't happen, the CEO eventually had to fire sale it. He had to close one of his department stores, and then he had to fire sale it to somebody else because they didn't really adapt. And that's how strong sometimes in organizations this whole change is. And you've got to realize that it's a adapt or die in many cases. The third idea they give us is this, is to remove that whole force around, we've never done it that way before. The process of being competitive again, you must make your organization, listen to this, one giant listening device. You got to finally become social active and the company needs to be flatter. Notice what where they're going. They're saying in our social age, a company has to be listening in major ways to what's happening currently on the front lines. Notice the sensory system. We're going to be talking about the sensory system for a few weeks here, but all of a sudden, you got to have ears, right? You got to build them however you build them. We'll talk about that in a minute. And notice that machines don't have ears, but agile human bodies do, right? So let's go on from there. They said basically this. Let me just for a moment. In fact, in James, it says that everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. It's never been more true than we're dealing with right now in these situations. So let me go a little bit farther here. And that is, I want you to hear what listening sounds like. Now, I'm gonna read this, but don't get overwhelmed because you don't need to do near all of this. But I want you to hear what it sounds like. It sounds like this. We monitor tweets about our brands, products, team members, and customers. We watch LinkedIn groups for the thoughts of industry influencers, those subject matter experts, bloggers, journalists, and speakers who are both well-connected and respected in the brand ambassadors of both our products and our competition. We browse Pinterest to measure interest in a popular topic or trend. We blog and comment on other blogs, even our competitions, to display expertise for continual learning. We observe Facebook groups and Google Plus communities to measure the pulse of every stakeholder involved. We observe Yelp, Glassdoor, and other niche review sites for real-time observations from our customers' employees. We use Google Alerts and install Mention, a terrific tool for filtering and prioritizing words so we can time our brand, our product, our major team members, using social media monitoring tools such as Raterly, Engager, and install Radian 6, free tools like Hootsuite and Twitter own TweetDeck. We listen in every way possible. We watch for input from a myriad of sources. The volume available now is high, and in the industrial age, you could never get this kind of information. That's what listening sounds like. Now, you're not going to do anywhere near all of that, but you're getting an idea of what it means to begin to listen, not just as it used to be. We're just going to, you know, push out there what we want to sell. Now, today, it's a constant conversation going between the two. So that's the fourth thing is it's a very specific kind of listening. The fifth thing that I think is important, we're going to get to that, but let's take a break and we'll be right back.
Successful businesses today need to be flexible, responsive, and adaptive while being better connected than ever. The human body provides a good metaphor for what this looks like, and it's also the perfect illustration of how the church should function. Here on Working with Purpose, the conversation covers topics related to the intersection of faith and business and views leadership through the lens of the body of Christ. And you're invited to join the conversation. You can dialogue with David and Justin on these topics, sign up to receive blog posts, get updates on upcoming events, and more through their website, davidstarkcollective.com, or find them on Twitter, @StarkCollective. David and Justin are also available to speak on a variety of topics related to working with purpose and will help you and your business go beyond discussing these concepts to putting them into action. Find out more by going to davidstarkcollective.com and open either the speaking or consulting pages of the platform. Now let's get back to part two of Working with Purpose.
Welcome back to Working with Purpose. This is David Stark, and we're actually doing a series on adaptability. Once again, we want to tell you that you can join us at davidstarkcollective.com. You can also find us on Twitter @StarkCollective. You can listen to all of our podcasts on iTunes. We pay attention to that. Please download those if you can't hear the live program. And also, we've got a brand new way that you can join us. It's a LinkedIn group called Business Connected. LinkedIn group called Business Connected. Well, I'm actually doing blog posts there at the beginning of the week around the stuff we're going to be talking on the program. So we'd really like to get your feedback, your input about the questions that we're tackling. And so we can just continue to hear what you have to say about that. Again, I want to remind you that if you'd like to, please send us ideas for our topics that would be of interest to you. You can do that at David@davidstarkcollective.com. That's David@davidstarkcollective.com. Great. Let's get back to what we're talking about today. We're talking about the imperative of becoming adaptable as an organization. We've actually been unpacking what the retail crisis is really about. You may know that there's 19 major retailers and many more that are stressed today. Talking about closings, you've probably seen them, J. Jill's closing, you know, Macy's closing. I mean, they're just all around us in terms of what's closing, and that's really, at its core, not just about Amazon. It's really about adaptability and the speed of change. And so, as our authors were actually quoting from a book called Going Social this week, and they basically said, you know, the dinosaurs, first it happens, start slowly, which is what it did in this case. And then all of a sudden, the dinosaurs start falling, right? Meaning older companies that are legacy companies. And that's what we're right in the middle of right now. And it's a major issue happening. And so we're trying to really look at, how do I make my organization adaptable? I'm going to go back through. We did 4 of 5 principles today that I'm going to do the fifth one. And then I'm going to go back through them. I'm going to talk about them a little bit more in depth so we can see what this looks like in an actual process of a company. So the fifth one. We talked about the fourth one, you know, being about having a ability to listen, and we looked at what listening sounds like, right? And then part of that is going flatter. So part of it is going to be, as we've talked about all the time, is that hierarchies really are can easily prevent the kind of listening that especially the top decision makers need to make, because they're so isolated from what's happening on the ground. Now, lots of hierarchies are dealing with that in different ways, but my point being is most organizations are getting somewhat flatter. And we would argue they're actually these interconnected organisms that are networked, and that's critical as a structure if you're going to begin to really listen and be able to respond and engage with all your stakeholders, especially with your customers, right? So this is the fifth one, and that is, once you create an organization that's somewhat flatter, and yours may already be pretty flat, the C group, if you have a C group or just the leaders, they must engage, they must accept the fact that the change is being ignited by an insurmountable market pressure. And because of that, they now understand that listening and engaging must be at the core of company's culture. And service model will be, if that's true, then your service model will be much closer to their feet on the street. And that's the empowered frontline employee. So all of a sudden, you know, the people that are really receiving the most important input in your organization are those that are touching the customer, right? Or touching the employees, for that matter, or even the stakeholders. So it's about that listening that's happening. And then they put it, you know, this way. They said, finally, the organization then will be nimble enough to affect real change as a direct result of listening, almost exclusively so social. So this is the first piece of adaptable. The first piece of adaptable, I got to know what I'm adapting to, right? So what I'm adapting to is what I'm hearing and what I'm engaging on an ongoing basis from the social dimension of what's going on. And so that's what we mean by being nimble or being adaptable, and why it's an imperative today for all organizations. Here's how they summarize it, though, kind of related to the fifth point. In the social age, social networks become our ears, our eyes, and our mouth, in that order. Now, let me tell you what's so important about that. Notice the sensory system, first of all. We're talking about all different parts of the sensory system of the human body and its metaphor and equivalent in terms of connected business today. But notice the order they put. Why is that so important? Because most traditional advertising, the discussion is one way. All right, so we create a product or service, right? Then we advertise it, right? So there isn't a discussion about the product. There isn't a discussion about, it used to be about iteration of the product or whatever it is. No, this is what we're selling. And now we come at you with ads that are supposed to convince you that what we created, whatever it is, service, product, is what you ought to be buying. Notice the one-way part of that conversation. It treats customers only as the receivers. And when the world wasn't interconnected, it, you know, worked very well, right? Because you didn't have any way of comparing. But now the customers have the power, right? So they can talk to each other. They can find out from other vendors real quickly, comparisons all the time, right? They can go on to sites that are evaluating your company. I mean, they get so many ways of figuring out specifically their friends, you know, et cetera. Well, should I be buying A or should I be buying B? See that? And now we've got to have the ears and the eyes first, right? Then we can talk. Then we go back and forth because we stay informed with what we're doing. And we know that the speed of change is stuff that this adaptability is critical if I'm not just going to get taken out by one discovery or by one new company that joins in from who knows where, right? So notice the centrality here of the sensory system of the body. But let me go back through these 5 points first, and then I'm going to go to the scriptures about this. So the first point I want to talk about here is this, and that is you really have to realize that we're in a social revolution. That means connected companies have got to be building the sensory system in some form where they're giving and receiving conversation, not just pushing out advertising about what it is they're selling. They've got to have that conversation on an ongoing basis. In order to do that, you've got to challenge the people who said that, well, we've always done it this way, that are blocking you from taking action and from moving into what it is that's new. And so you've got to all of a sudden say, I'm sorry, the speed of change is too fast to lean on that idea of we've always done it this way. It's not going to work in the future. It's adapt or die right now. So that's the second thing. I got to challenge the people that really just want to keep it the same. Thirdly, in order to address those people along the way, not only do you need to become flatter, but you've got to have direct contact with the top leaders, with the actual customers, employees, et cetera. That's got to become a networked world for them. And they're in contact all the time with that. So that's the third thing. You've got to get that in place to really get that the we've always done it this way stuff out of the way. Fourthly, then, we start listening. And that listening we talked about comes in the forms of tweets and blogs and Facebook and, you know, Tumblr and Twitter, and we talked about many of them, Pinterest, and, you know, there's just so many. You don't have to do all of those, but you do have to have listening devices that work well for you so that you are aware of what's happening, what needs to be iterated, how can I adapt fast to that. So it's like I'm in a climate situation. I need, you know, if the temperature drops 60 degrees, I got to respond today, right? And so I need to know those kinds of things that are happening in the environment of the market that I'm playing in. So that's really important, that all of a sudden the listening and hearing and seeing devices are built up. And then when you now have a connected company that's built up like that, now you begin really to look, be nimble and adaptable. Now, we're going to talk about next week, well, what do I do with all this listening? We'll talk about that next week. But the point is, I've now got it. I'm now in a place where I can get to that change a lot faster than I could have in the past. And that really is about eyes and ears and a mouth built on these agile human organisms that we're really building as a metaphor in terms of our business. Now, let's go from there to 1 Corinthians, because 1 Corinthians fits in real perfectly here. It says this, if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. What are the takeaways? Number one, that the agile human body is the best metaphor for a connected business gone social. It's critical to see it that way. Otherwise, you won't say, well, where's the sensory system? I won't be paying attention to it, developing it, unless I see this as the give and take between customer, employee, and the leadership of the company. So that's the first takeaway. Second big takeaway is that machines do learn, but they don't empathize with customers, right, on the line or phone or in person to give human feedback about the marketplace, right? So you're going to get a lot of information, but you won't get emotional intelligence. You're not going to get imagination. You're not going to get intuition, kind of what's going on in the belief side of that, you know, not without people who are at least interpreting all the tweets and et cetera on the social media places, right? I'm going to date myself here, but rather than closing with Peter Drucker, because our friend in crime is not here, right? I'm going to close with Neil Diamond, right? But I'm going to modify it a little bit. You know, it says, machines talk, but they don't sing and dance, and they don't walk very well, at least not yet, right? So my point being is we need the whole dimension of our beings, listening, interacting, conversing, in order to be responsive and adaptable as organizations. That's going to become critical to survival. That's what really is going to have to happen, and the major retailers are under crisis. They're already doing this, but they've got to go there as fast as they can. We need to do it before we end up in that kind of crisis in our businesses. I hope you will heed this and build that sensory system. Well, you've been listening to Working with Purpose with David Stark and Justin Royer. Again, you can get us at david@davidstarkcollective.com. Give us ideas. You can connect to LinkedIn group of Business Connected. Thanks for joining us this week.